All right, football 52. We wanted to get this rolling early, Coach, because with all the wind happening, we're told maybe the power's going to go out at some point. So we got an early start on the podcast here, and we want to make sure we get this all recorded before they shut us down. If they do shut us down, I don't know what's going to happen.
So I don't have social media, yeah. But like the weather app is my deal. You know, that for being we don't have an indoor practice facility, so we've got to practice outside. And the players all kind of tease me, you know, because I always know the percentage chance of rain, lightning, what the wind forecast is going to be. And my wife last night and you guys this morning, you keep talking about this wind and the power outages. And I'm like, it's supposed to be 18 mile an hour winds. Like that's a regular old Greeley day.
Mm-hmm.
So, either I got to update my weather app or, you know, like there's just some, you guys are using a different source than I have.
Well, we're getting a text last night. My wife did. And we live basically Timnath, but technically Fort Collins. We get a text from Excel. It's like, hey, we're going to be shutting your power off at 10 o'clock in the morning as we record this. It's December 17th. And so you and I, like, with kids on the spectrum, sometimes you worry about all that stuff because you're like, wait a second. When he comes home, he likes to go downstairs into his little sensory room, put a cartoon on the TV or something in the background. We got the iPads and stuff, but keeping all your stuff charged up, I mean, you really start to think about all those extra, because, you know, you and I can survive without,
right?
You know, we don't need to have TV for a day or so or whatever.
Yeah.
But you think about that stuff with these kids, that certainly, you know, is kind of a scary thing. So hopefully we don't end up shutting it down.
That's a big deal right there. And I've got the chicken coop with the automatic door. I got to make sure that doesn't get locked open and the foxes get in. So yeah, there are concerns about it. I just I don't know if it's going to hit Greeley like that. So we'll find out.
I think they're kind of, it seems like they're kind of backing off on it. So we'll see. We'll play it by ear, yeah. I guess, Coach. Last week you were on the recruiting trail, and we can get into some of that, I guess, at some point. I went rogue on you, Coach. I reached out to Caden Reeder, prospect, but now signed, committed with the UNC Bears, quarterback that played for Thunder Ridge this past season. And they went from winning no games to getting into the playoffs this year. And, of course, I went and, before the interview, went and watched a bunch of his highlights and everything. But let me just say, man, we had him on the show, on the whole show last week, and he was phenomenal. He was great. And I always, now, who am I? I'm nobody. But when I get a message after the interview that's like, thank you for having, because I don't get that a lot. You get a young man like that that says, hey, thank you so much for having me on the show. Just, to me, that goes up a little bit, because they're thinking about it. Like, hey, appreciated the opportunity to jump on, because I would just almost guarantee we're the only radio show in the state of Colorado that interviewed or interviews these prospects that are going to UNC, CSU, Wyoming. We're bringing these dudes on, and not all of them reach out, and Caden did. That's a cool thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. It's what we would predict, and there's a high tendency for a lot of quarterbacks to kind of be in that mold where they grow up somewhat mapped out their career in football and the opportunities to speak to media and to be out front, to represent their team, to represent their new team, build the brand, so to speak. And he's moving from one brand to another in the next year. So I'm really glad to hear that about him. We were super impressed watching his highlight film, and that's always kind of the first criteria for beginning to recruit a guy. And then at that point, okay, what are his academics like? Does he work hard in the classroom? How does he respond to authority? And then we start talking to high school counselors, high school teachers, of course, the coaching staff at the high school. And he checks all the boxes. So we're really excited about him and his development potential.
The highlights are interesting, and I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on this because I'm watching those highlights too. I just went to his page, and I pulled up different scouting reports. I think we're going to nickname him Laser, by the way, because somebody had written a scouting report on him that says he's like a laser running around, and he's quick, he moves. But I think he's kind of joking because he put it on his profile description on his X account that, you know, run a 4.7. in parentheses, laser. So, you know, he's kind of saying, I'm not like a laser but I can move. Mm-hmm. But either way, Coach, I think we have a nickname ready for Caden Reeder, ready to rock and roll.
Laser? I like that.
I think
it's
Laser.
Good QB nickname, so I can buy into that.
When you're looking, okay, so you get the highlights. You know, okay, that's going to be all the highlights. These are all going to be positive plays. What does the work around that look like? That comes down to talking to coaches and saying, okay, we've got his highlights here. Are you saying, what's wrong with him? Like, because we got all the good stuff here. What's wrong with him?
Yeah, so I don't want to be a contrarian, but the assumption that the highlight film is all good, it's not true for me.
For you.
And the way that I train my coaching staff to watch a highlight film. So I've worked with a lot of coaches who can get buried in the information avalanche of film, watching game film, looking for technical deficiencies, schematic deficiencies, decision-making deficiencies in the case of quarterback, but other positions too. A highlight film, if you and I were to watch one together, every play I can show you something good and something bad on that highlight. There are a lot of highlights where a quarterback might throw, because we're talking, you know, just in the context of quarterbacks, but we're talking about a quarterback could throw a bad pass, but it turns into a good thing. A quarterback can make a bad decision, like threading the needle is something that fans could get excited about. It's not something that coaches would get excited about. As I watch a pass progression or a pass concept, I know how that player was probably taught to throw that concept. And if he's missing an open read or a safer read and threading the needle between two defenders, yes, that's a highlight and good on you, son. But we're going to find out if that's sustainable, right? Yeah, so we want aggressive shots at conservative targets is how we teach our quarterbacks.
That's fascinating, too, because just last week, you know, watching NFL games, Caleb Williams with Chicago makes a really crazy throw in the end zone into double coverage. Yeah. Guy pulls it down, touchdown.
Right.
A reporter even asked him, is that, you know, was he was kind of tippy-toeing around it, but he's like, was that an ill-advised throw that just worked out? And of course, Caleb Williams' response was like, I don't make ill-advised throws, but that might be kind of what you're talking about. It worked out, but was that just a miraculous play by a receiver, actually a bad decision? Because if he's double covered, if there's double coverage on that guy, odds are there's another guy that's maybe a little more open, whatever. It worked out, you got a touchdown, but those are kind of some of the things you're looking at.
Exactly, yeah, and you know, like, you want the quarterback in the public eye to show that confidence and to show the confidence in his receiver and his offensive line and everybody else that went into making that play successful. And so for him to kind of bristle at the reporter's question, it's great. But then you would like to see that quarterback in the next meeting when you're going over that video. You'd like to see the quarterback, if there was another guy that was more safely wide open, say, yeah, I got a little fortunate there, or the coverage rotated in a way that I didn't anticipate, and I'm glad that one worked out. But yeah, in hindsight, sitting here in an air-conditioned room, you know, watching it in a comfortable chair, yeah, okay, this other guy was a little more open. And that's just part of playing all sports, right? It's like you're not always going to make the right decision, but to be able to look back in hindsight, learn a little something that you might apply to the next situation. You don't want a quarterback that every interception wrecks their confidence, and every good play skyrockets their confidence. You know, you want a guy that can be kind of even keeled and understand the context of the moment and why some throws work out and some throws don't, and then to be able to play the percentages over time.
Caden Reeder's an interesting one. Again, Thunder Ridge, his demeanor and, you know, obviously his confidence after having a season where they didn't win a game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm connecting the dots with you guys as you've built up. They go his junior year, they don't win a game, to this season. He has a lot of amazing plays and they make the playoffs. There was a lot of buzz around Thunder Ridge. I watched several old clips from, like, 9 News was all over this team with their coach, with Jay Madden. You know, it just, that kind of stuff tells me that you have a guy that was like, man, we hit a pretty big low, but my confidence is still there, and I can turn it around to the next season, and we can actually build on this. And I know those are things you're looking at too, is not just his last year or most recent bit of body of work, but you're looking kind of at what did it look like his junior year? How did he progress into this quarterback that ultimately starts getting offers from Division I schools?
Sure. And the late bloomer for us, you and I have talked about this before, it is part of our recruiting process. If we're recruiting the early bloomer, we're recruiting against everybody else. And yeah. UNC doesn't win a lot of recruiting battles in the Big Sky, for example. We're not, that just is not the reality for us. Of all the things that players care and choose a school for, about the best thing we could say is that we're local. You know, but coach players, you know, they might tell you they choose a school because they really like the coaches. What they really mean is the coaches at the best place I had an opportunity believed in me. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they mean by that.
Yeah.
Is not, you're not going to out-recruit other schools with a bigger stadium, more winning tradition, more resources, unless there's some other factor in there, like being a local guy or whatever. So in Caden's case, the fact that he's a late bloomer, he fits right in with all of our guys. We're looking for development potential. We're looking for the guys that everybody else in our conference, when they break through in their second, third, fourth year, whatever, everybody else in our conference goes, where did they find that guy? We didn't know about that guy. And that's, you know, a lot of our guys that are making plays right now, that's exactly who they are. Colorado kids that nobody else recruited except for maybe in the RMAC. And now they're showing that they're legitimate Division I football players. And we see Caden in that same vein.
Yeah, two dudes. Obviously, we've discussed this a bit, but Carver Cheeks, Cam Chapa.
Yep.
We know Transfer Portal actually officially opens January 2nd, but guys are putting it out there that they will be entering the Transfer Portal. Those were two of them that we discussed. Those were guys that were not on a lot of people's radar the last 2 years. And they turned out to be every single game, they're making plays. And so there's a lot of what you're talking about right there with just those two guys, one on offense, one on defense, where these two guys might be able to, who knows, go somewhere else, play big, meaningful, you know, reps in, for larger conferences, whatever, and maybe even beyond that. And it started at UNC. And I know that's going to be a selling point for you guys.
Sure. That's going to be, you know, I've said it before, and to our team, I've laid out the process of look at our men's basketball team, very successful within our conference. They've lost one player every year to a major opportunity. Extrapolate that over a football roster, and maybe that's 3 to 5 mm-hmm. players a year. Again, to a major opportunity. And that's really how we want guys to leave here. And that's really how it's working out right now is, you know, the guys that are leaving that are really having a big impact in our games. They're leaving with full expectation that they're going to have a Power Four opportunity. And we hope that's the case for them. Football is much more difficult than basketball to make those predictions. Basketball has such smaller numbers, but still high interest that, there is a kind of, I would say, a known value for basketball players before they ever go into the portal. There are agents that handle dozens of quality basketball players and are able to find out the value. Football is really, it's a mess. There are a lot of grimy agents. There are agents that really are only looking for a paycheck, and they're leaving the kids in football in a bad spot. Saw some statistics the other day. There, only 40% of Division I scholarship football players that entered the portal got a Division I scholarship last year.
Wow.
40%.
Wow.
So the odds are against anyone jumping into the portal. And I think that the pendulum is starting to swing back and there's an awareness amongst our players. And then here at UNC right now, I think culturally we have something really strong. We have preached from day one, look, skill players are great. Enjoy all of that. We're all going to celebrate for you guys. You guys are making the big plays. But this league has always been one on the offensive and defensive line. And that's our priority. That's what we build. That's what we recruit around. That's our emphasis. And that those two groups right now are locked in on sticking it out for the Bears and winning a championship. And they're like, it's almost like, I dare you to get in that portal. You know, you are not one of us if you do that. And I haven't built it that way. You know, we want to be respectful of every guy's decision, but there seems to be a really strong mantra right now in our line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I'm looking daily, you know, to see who's making that announcement. And These are the names so far, and you tell me if I'm missing any, because I haven't seen, you just mentioned it, I haven't seen offensive linemen entering or saying they're going to enter, or defensive linemen.
Right.
We got Fisher Clemens, a tight end. We got Peter Castelli at quarterback. We got Cam Chapa at safety. Carver Cheeks at wide receiver. Eric Gibson. I want to get into that story, too, because
eligibility
he's
issue.
Eligibility issues, so he's going to have to enter, drop but go drop
level.
Down. And I want to, because I want to refresh that conversation of what went down at LSU and why that didn't go through the way we were hoping for. And then Caden Box at quarterback as well. So am I missing anybody else, Coach, at this stage?
Did you mention Fisher?
I did mention Fisher.
Okay, yeah, yep. Fisher Clemens. Yeah, and each of those guys have their own reasons, and it can be kind of difficult for me. I've talked about this before, where to go into every guy's reason can sometimes be, maybe get into their personal business a little too much, right?
Yeah.
And so it's hard if there's six, seven guys, and I say there's six guys that go in the portal. I talk about five, but then there's like a sixth guy where I'm like, yeah, he's got, his own personal reasons. There's almost a connotation there of like there's something wrong. So I really try to stay away from
that. The why.
But in the case of, Cam and Carver, Cam Chapa, Carver Cheeks, it's pretty obvious what those guys have accomplished. They're first team All Big Sky. They're getting All-American recognition. Like, I can talk about them, and it's pretty obvious what they're trying to accomplish. Everybody else probably on that list at this point, it could be they're trying to get closer to home. It could be that their role isn't exactly what they hoped it would be here, And so to go into details on each one of those, sometimes I feel like it's almost disrespectful to the
sure.
to those players.
Well, and that's kind of why I wanted to mainly just – we put it out there in the world. We don't have to get into the weeds
sure.
of it. However, the Eric Gibson Jr.
Yep.
one – is pretty fascinating because
yeah.
that's not a, hey, I'm choosing to leave. It's just the way it is. Can you refresh my memory
sure.
on what went down here and why he's not eligible for D1 football, at least at this point?
Yeah, I'll start with this. Shame on the NCAA.
Yeah.
An absolutely disgusting, despicable decision by them.
Mm.
And I am looking at this unbiased. We've had other decisions go against us here and other places I've worked. I have always been able to look at the NCAA's rationale in each one of those and say, okay, well, maybe not in the best interest of this kid or this school, but overall, I can see the rationale. I can't see it in any way. So here's Eric Gibson's story. Eric was recruited to LSU as a walk-on out of high school. There is, for walk-ons and scholarship players alike, there is a tracker that we as Division I schools, we have to turn into the NCAA. So we declare, look, we are tracking this player for fall enrollment of X year, right? LSU did that. It's documented. The NCAA knows it. He was tracked by LSU for freshman enrollment to be part of the football team. Now, it is possible... it does happen every year that you track more than you actually invite. So you start to track a guy, you do a little more research, you continue the recruiting process, and then you tell the guy, hey, we don't have a spot for you, whatever. In that case, players are going to go enroll elsewhere where they have an opportunity to play. LSU, and this was all for me initially hearsay, but I'm going to throw you a huge curveball in a moment.
Yeah.
But LSU, according to Eric, told him to enroll in the fall of his freshman year of college. Told him to enroll as a full-time student and that he would be on the team. He would be what we call a preferred walk-on, which means, look, you're not trying out for the team. You are on the team. This was always Eric's story, and we always thought, okay, well, that seems appealable if we can somehow get somebody to say, yeah, we recruited him, told him to get here, and then didn't give him an opportunity. So LSU's athletic director, the coaches at LSU are gone now, but LSU's athletic director, with all the stuff that they've been going through over the last few months, getting rid of a coach midseason, a lot of scrutiny about how much they're paying those outgoing coaches now. LSU's athletic director took the time to write and sign an email to the NCAA to our compliance office here at UNC and to Eric, stating the names, dates of coaches that told Eric that he would have an opportunity his freshman year on the team, and then they didn't follow through with that. He completely fell on the sword and said, this is LSU's fault.
Wow.
Opened himself and the university up to scrutiny, and we had that, and we appealed with that. My exact words to Eric are, this looks like a slam dunk now. Nice job reaching out to LSU. You must have made some good impressions there, which is not a surprise to me. Rachel Walton, who's our most experienced, she's our senior women administrator and associate athletic director. She's our most experienced person in the department and works incredibly hard on behalf of the student athletes. She had, I want to say 99% confidence. You can never have 100% confidence, I guess, in somebody else's decision, but 99% confidence that this appeal would be in our favor, in Eric's favor. And they came back and denied it. And, don't want to embarrass Rachel, but I think it's a testament to who she is. She called me and I could tell she was crying about it. That's what kind of passion she puts into it, but also I think an indication of the frustration that she had. And so she's not giving up. She's doing the battles. She's talking to the Big Sky. She's talking to the NCAA. She's trying to hold people accountable. She'll continue to do that more out of the principal. But at that point, we had to tell Eric, look, the chances of it's one thing to apply for the waiver and then to come back and appeal it to the appeal committee. There's really no third step here. Mm. That would be unprecedented. So you need to prepare for something else.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to continue to battle it, but more on a legislative level of, what are you doing here? Justify your decision. Not necessarily to reinstate Eric, because we feel at this point that it would be impossible.
So, Coach, that tracker, all this stuff we're talking about, they tell them to enroll as a preferred walk-on. So that all that stuff, that counted as a year of eligibility, essentially, even though he wasn't...
He had no opportunity to play.
He was not even suiting up or going to practice or doing anything like that.
Didn't get a chance to try out. Nothing.
But he's listed as, that's a year of eligibility because you were a preferred walk-on, even though you didn't get to walk anywhere.
Right.
Wow.
And all LSU...
How does that...
All LSU had to do was give him an opportunity to try. So we have, for example... And I've pushed for this. At BYU, there were a lot of coaches that wanted to get rid of it because they felt like it was a waste of time. I just can't stomach moving to the point where this thing is such a business that we don't give every player on campus a chance to try out.
Mm-hmm.
So I always kind of pushed it, ran it. There were times when I was the only one there, me and a couple of graduate assistants at BYU. And then we've continued to do it here. But it's just an open tryout. A one day, 30 minutes, open tryout. Hey, all you guys, thanks for coming out. Line up on this line. You're all full-time students. Line up on this line. We're going to find out who can run. I'm going to walk down the row and see who looks big enough. If you pass the eye test, we'll kind of graduate you over here. If not, thank you for coming out. Takes a lot of courage, but you're dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a meat market. It is disrespectful in some ways because we don't have a lot of time. By the time we do that, it's the first day of school and it's game week.
Yeah.
So we have to do it with full-time enrolled students. They have to jump through some insurance hoops and some academic hoops, just kind of make sure that they would be eligible if we did try to pick them up. But we, every year, in my time at BYU and my time here, my time at SUU, every year at that tryout, we will find a guy, two guys, not maybe that we add right away to the roster, but we might add them for spring.
Mm-hmm.
And they've become players, contributing players, whether that's scout team, whether that's a starter, earn a scholarship, kind of, and everything in the middle. And that's all LSU needed to do, really, was give Eric a 1% chance of making it. And they didn't do that. And a lot of, like I said, I've worked with a lot of guys who are I'm not wasting my time on that. If you're not the head coach, I'm not coming out to your goofy ass tryout.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it that there are people out there being successful without an open tryout. I just think for the difference that it can make in a young person's life, for the difference that it can make in the team, that I wouldn't put an hour or two into something like that would be absurd in my mind.
Can I ask too, what the NCAA, what were some specifics in their response to not allow this one more year of eligibility for Eric? I mean, what did they say?
Well, what they said was he did not meet the criteria for a waiver. And so the criteria for a waiver is all kinds of things, right? You know, it could be a serious illness, a mental breakdown. I mean, there can be a lot of different things, and it's kind of laid out for them. And this was like Rachel and her passion and her knowledge. She straight up confronted them like, wait a minute. The whole point of getting it in front of an appeal committee is to consider situations outside of the criteria. If he had met the criteria, we would not be needing to appeal this.
Yeah.
And at least, you know, this is Rachel relating it to me. They had no answer at that point.
So that the other part of this too is it's always about the student. It's about the student. He could have, if he would have known he wasn't going to be able to actually participate, could have went somewhere else. He could have went to a ton of different. I mean, that's LSU we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's going to have different opportunities, lower level or whatever, to go play another year to actually have a real year. But instead, he's kind of locked in at that point. It seems like
I take pride in my ability to step away from my biased viewpoint and then look at situations that have to do with my job, my livelihood, my players, et cetera, to try to look at it from outside of my current interest point, vantage point, right? And the best I can come up with that is that the NCAA would say, if we allow Eric Gibson another year, what's going to happen is schools all over the country are going to invite a bunch of kids in and then make last-minute decisions and screw them over, knowing that they can appeal for an extra year. Mm.
But what's wrong with, I mean,
well, here's the reality of that. You can't do that as a football program. Mm. You know how quickly my reputation or any coach's reputation would tarnish.
Okay.
You know how many high school coaches would be calling me like, you know, it's August 3rd. We started training camp and we had invited, you know, one, two of their players, whatever, into our training camp. And now they don't have an opportunity in training camp. And at a place like LSU, if you're a preferred walk-on at LSU, you have scholarship opportunities all over the country, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's really, it's just not a realistic fear that the NCAA would have, but it's all I can come up with when I try to remove myself from the personal interest of having Eric Gibson for another year.
So LSU's not getting screwed in this at all. They're not getting any kind of trouble on this. Eric Gibson is.
Yeah, you know the old joke. I mean, the NCAA is so mad at LSU that they're going to punish UNC.
that's exactly what it sounds like. LSU screwed up. We can't set a bad precedent here by giving him an extra year because you guys screwed up and we don't want a bunch of schools around the country to do what you guys did. So we're going to punish Eric Gibson Jr. for mm-hmm. that. That's just, again, we can go off on some NCAA stuff, but my goodness, man, that's a heartbreaker for a guy like Eric Gibson, man.
It is. And as you would expect, if you've gotten to know him, listen to his interviews, he was very stoic about it and said, you know, of course I have been planning for this possibility. And he knew that he would have Division II eligibility. To continue, so he's in the portal with that hope of playing one more season of Division II football, and I anticipate he'll have a lot of opportunities on that.
That's just outrageous to me. I mean, here's a young guy that comes in. It loved his attitude in the offseason. You talked about that a lot, and where he understood he was on the depth chart, and how he said, "I want to be the best number two I can possibly be." He gets the opportunity to start. You guys are moving this offense. You guys are doing great things. An improved season, battling pretty much the entire way through, and he was a huge part of that. And then you guys obviously make that decision, hey, he's going to be our guy going forward. And then he gets handed this. This is the definition of a raw deal from the NCAA. Again, LSU gets off scot-free, and Eric Gibson's the one who's left having to pick up the pieces.
Right. Yeah, it's Eric. You know, it impacted other guys. It impacted Peter Castelli. It impacted Caden Box. You know, had this decision been made earlier, or had I been able to anticipate better the decision by the NCAA, would that have made a difference in the decision of Peter Castelli or Caden Box to get into the portal? I don't know that, right? Like, I don't not making the decision for them. They're making business decisions. What's best for them, but. You know, I do have to take that responsibility of like whether it's me. The NCAA and me, all of our people here at UNC, we somehow mismanage all of that to the point where it's affected more than just Eric Gibson.
Well, I mean, and what are you supposed to do in that case? If you're, I would have, and I'm not deep into this like Rachel is or anything like that, but I would, the story you've told me, it's like, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
The NCAA is going to have to, if they're not going to punish LSU, then they damn sure can't punish Eric Gibson. So you as a coach, you're like, hey, to the other quarterbacks on this team, if, assuming Eric comes back, can come back and we get through this, he's going to be the guy. Now, obviously, we don't know that 100%, but that's the plan. So these guys look at it and probably think a lot like us and go, yeah, he's coming back. So we're going to hit the transfer portal.
Sure.
So you can, I mean, you get it on, you know, kind of from all angles here.
Yeah. And it's like this. You and I are in the same business in a certain way in that our opinions go public. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how often on your show, like on your regular show, that you make predictions about who's going to win this Saturday, who's going to win this Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of your deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to deal with those who point out in hindsight that you were wrong.
Yep.
And
yep.
they say, why didn't you choose the thing that would have been right?
Yes.
And so,
yes.
And I'm used to that too. In my business, I make so many decisions daily, by the minute, all throughout the game, the week leading up to the game, the preparation. And it's a fair criticism to say, you know, you didn't do the thing that worked. You,
mm-hmm.
you did the thing that didn't work. So I made, in hindsight, that was a bad decision because it was the one that was wrong to go with the indication that Eric would have another year. In to help through the thought process for you and anybody who cares is caring to listen, I will do that every time for the benefit of, in this case, we're talking about like Peter Castelli, Caden Box. I will do that every time for those guys because if I were in their shoes, I would want to know what the coach is thinking.
Yeah.
You know, hey, coach, what do you think? Who's penciled in as the starter going forward? You know, so I try to explain it as detailed as I can and give the guys the cold, hard, honest truth when necessary. And, you know, I that's what we're dealing with now. So it was a big blow to get that decision from the NCAA.
I saw Eric's, because I know you and I had talked about it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe, and I saw Eric's post, and it was just kind of like, I was shocked, because when you and I talked about it, and are you kidding me? So that's why I said, I want to get a refresher here, because this doesn't seem right. And it still doesn't seem right. Like, all the stuff the NCAA is going through, and we got a story like this. We're going to definitely be highlighting this a lot on the show today, too,
yeah.
Coach. So it's pretty much, this is it, right? You can't appeal again, or you can for whatever, but Eric Gibson, there's no coming back.
Yeah, there's just not a process at this point. You know, I suppose you could continue to fight with the NCAA and say that the appeal decision was invalid for X reasons. But I just there's no precedent at this point. I guess what it, like Rachel Walton, Stormy Stickler, those are our two compliance officers on our campus. We have general counsel as well. I know Rachel's getting their opinions on things, but you know to fight kind of the legal battle, not in the courts, but just the legislation within the NCAA to fight it. There you have to have precedent to have any kind of standing moving forward in the argument. And we're not able to find at this point any precedent that would lead us to believe that the NCAA will reopen their consideration of Eric's case.
So was Eric, like, he was enrolled there and that he was there for the year then, right?
He was a student with no opportunity to play football.
He's a
football player.
To play football.
He went there specifically to play football. And obviously, you know, as soon as the first semester was up, he was out. Like, I'm not here to go to LSU.
Yeah, I didn't,
as an academic,
right,
non-football playing student. And so, you know, it's just such a clear path.
It's so, like, this is one of those, coach, where it's so freaking obvious. He gets invited to go there. He uproots his whole life. These kids do. He's going to school there thinking he's going to get an opportunity to play football or at least be on the team. He's not on the team. Still has to stay there. And they count that as a year of eligibility.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, on the quarterback stuff, sad situation, of course. But when we go kind of bringing this back full circle, we talk about Caden Reeder. You got three quarterbacks that were on this team last year. Three quarterbacks that are not on this team going forward next year. How realistic is it that a guy like Caden Reeder is the starting quarterback as a freshman, as a true freshman next year.
Yeah, to be fair to Caden, I would have to kind of like talk first in general about true freshman quarterbacks coming in and being the starter. Like it's a rare, right? But there's no policy against it. Mm-hmm. He'll have every opportunity to achieve that. But we will sign probably another three quarterbacks in this class. We're looking for 1 to 2 transfers and 1 to 2 more high school quarterbacks. Caden understands that. It's something we talked about. He wants to compete with the best, and you know, that's just the reality of the situation. Caden also understands. He and I talked specifically about his development potential. He has some. What I would call raw ability that really shows up on film in an exciting way. He makes a lot of switch-footed throws, off-balance throws. That's not the place to live as a quarterback. That's a recipe for disaster. But it shows a lot of arm talent, and I'm excited to work with that arm talent. Coach Walter Scheid, our offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, is excited to work with that talent and to find out, you know, what his strengths are and how we can help him improve as a quarterback. He has all of the talent to come in and compete for the starting job right away. But I would be honest with him, any other freshman or transfer quarterback, right now we're starting with the guys who have been here and the current depth chart, which is Levi Durrell finished as the second. Kenny Liuth had an incredibly strong fall. And our evaluation of Kenny Liuth in training camp versus the end of the season was vastly different. So, you know, I think that's going to be our top two right there. And then Gavin Lockett, tremendous athlete, one of the fastest players on our team, one of the hardest workers, what a big time leader. He brings a spark. And so we've got to figure out how he is going to figure into that mix, because his skill set is a lot different than Kenny and Levi, and strengths and weaknesses. And so we've got to figure out a way to allow him to shine and have his best opportunity to win the starting job. That's what spring football is all about. We have the time to do that, as opposed to, you know, when we get into fall camp, there's about 6 practices where everything's wide open. And then from there, we're really preparing for opponent number one, and it gets difficult to give guys opportunities that aren't first or second on the depth chart.
As far as these other, you know, quarterbacks to be named later, are you putting that focus in like mobility? We're definitely looking at a mobile type quarterback, or is this, hey, best player kind of available type of deal?
Yeah, it's certainly best player available. We're not currently looking at any guys that can't move out of the pocket, mm-hmm. you know, but obviously if you gave it a 1 to 10 rating, you know, 1 is a complete statue that's going to take a sack if we don't get the ball out. And then 10 is moving all over the place, with ability as a runner first, and a thrower second. You know, we're looking at guys that would be, you know, considered mobile quarterbacks. But if we really found a guy that could stand in there, deliver on time, avoid sacks with timing and decision-making and arm accuracy, we would be open to that too. We've coached all the different kinds of quarterbacks, and we've had success together, Coach Walter Scheid and I, with all the different types of quarterbacks. So we don't want to put ourselves in a box, you know, paint ourselves into a corner and say, we are only recruiting this type of QB. Our offense is multiple enough that we can use subsets of the package and put a little more emphasis in players' ability. And so when I talk about a guy like Gavin Lockett, you know, he is by far and away our best runner. As a passer, as a young player, you know, he's just a true freshman right now. As a passer, he can improve, and we can improve in our coaching of him. And I think there's still some evaluation to be made there. We don't want to paint him into a corner. We don't want to slap a label on him either, and say, well, he's a runner. He's just a runner. And we don't see that at all. We see a young guy still developing, and it's incumbent on us to bring out the best in him as well. But, you know, from day one, he could come out and run better than anybody on our team. So we don't want to like ignore that either. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, yeah. And with a solid offensive line, like we've talked about,
yeah,
that gives you options, whether he's a in the pocket guy or he's a guy that can get out of the pocket. When you have a versatile offensive line like you guys do, you can make those adjustments kind of on the fly if need be.
We will have, on both sides of the line, we will have the highest number of returning starters in the league.
That's huge.
Maybe in the country.
That is absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Because we know it starts there.
Yeah. And it's just, it's, I've told this story so many times, you know it by heart now, but in my first year, not cutting anyone on the team, we had four seniors on senior day recognized. Mm. It's the world record for the worst retention in the history of college football.
Wow.
Now to get to this point where we have, you know, 20 to 25 seniors every year reloading, these guys have stuck it out. They've stayed the course. They've invested. It's important to them. They're proud to be Bears. They see light at the end of the tunnel for the program, for the team, and they're sticking in here together. Every one of our offensive and defensive line could have other opportunities, play in a little bigger stadium, to go to a team that won more games than we did last year. Like, there's all kinds of ways to justify leaving. They're justifying staying, and that's going to change their lives. I know that. I've seen that, and I see that in them. And all it takes, really, is when the best players in a position group say, no, I'm staying. What, you're leaving?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're the third best guy on this, you know, on this line? I'm the best, you know? And they don't say that. But it's, you know, it's there. When you got Levi Johnson and Jack Zeball on the offensive line, like, these guys have been starting since they were freshmen, and they're sticking it out, and they believe that there's a championship for the Bears. They're excited about what's going on here. That speaks volumes to the rest of the guys in that position group that are still good players and could have good opportunities, but they're like, yeah, this is our gang here. We're doing something special.
Yeah, I love that.
Same thing's going on the defensive line with our best players.
Coach, last one for you. Braden Monroe.
Yeah.
Have not seen his name yet. So I'm assuming he is at this stage still a Bear. Planning on being a Bear.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Braden has always, you know, from the time that the portal became like a thing in college football, which has kind of coincided with his time here, you know, at least in terms of the ability to go in so freely like guys have now. He's been always honest and upfront, and I think 100% aligned with my vision for how a player should do it, which is, look, if you can get an opportunity to go be a starter at a power program, go. Let's go. I think that's great for our team. I want our young guys in the program to see Carver Cheeks be able to do that and then dream about that, about accomplishing that here. I'd like them to stay, graduate, get their graduate degree from here and get drafted from UNC. That would be my first priority, but it's not wrong or disloyal for them to move on to something amazing from here too. And it's something that should be celebrated if they can accomplish that much here. And I think Braden has accomplished so much here that the question's there, and that's why it's a fair question for you to ask. I mean, why do you pull him out of thin air?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not out of thin air. He's accomplished a lot here. He's made noise. He has a name.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think he's open to the idea of listening to a lot of the people that are trying to work behind the scenes. He's communicated that, but he said, Coach, I'm here. I'm a Bear. I'm doing this, but people are talking to me.
Mm.
And so there's the steps, kind of the you know, the indications are, does a guy on social media or to me, and so far everybody this year has come to me before they've done anything on social media, but do they declare on social media that they will be going into the portal? If that's the case, they're done at UNC as a scholarship player. Hmm. And Braden hasn't done that. And then the next step is actually getting into the portal, which doesn't open up until, I believe, January 2nd. And so, Braden's 100% a Bear, but I can say everyone on our team should be thinking about what would be out there and how do I compare that to what I've got at UNC. There's a lot of value now to being a UNC Bear for all these kids' lives and the way that they can – the things that they can accomplish in their life. I'm comfortable that our team is talking about that and cherishes that now, and I'm comfortable pulling my head out of the sand and knowing that every player should be wondering – okay, well, what else is out there for me? Mm-hmm. And how can I think that through and compare it?
Well, and people that would be reaching out to tell Braden what is out there, I mean, might be doing so illegally, right? Which is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, the agents if there's such
stuff.
A thing, and it should be more regulated. But yeah, I mean, like let's be real. There are a lot of Uncle Ricos out there at the holiday parties telling their, you know, kids, telling their nephews, hey, I got some contacts now. I can get you a big paycheck. Like, the reality is, this is published information. You can find it. The reality is the majority of guys on Power 4 rosters are making $5,000, $6,000, $10,000 a year extra. That's not worth starting over mm-hmm. in a new program with new politics, a new position group, a new playbook. That's not worth it. Those guys, you know, you need to be able to leave from here to go be a starter at the power level. And anything less than that is going to retard your growth for what you're trying to accomplish next. So if a guy really thinks he can be an NFL prospect and he's going to jump to a group of five and jump into a new dynamic where he could have been our marquee guy here, he's going to hurt his opportunity to go to the NFL. And at this point, I'm not talking about Braden anymore. Yeah, right? Sure. I want to make that clear. I'm not talking about right. any of our guys. I'm just talking about in general. And I believe I believe college football players now are more aware of the truth of what I'm saying than they were a year ago. And I think as time goes on, it's going to become more and more obvious that you really want to stick it out and make a major move or no move at all. And obviously now there's a different case for those who just, you know, if we have a guy who's second on our depth chart and they think they can go somewhere else, anywhere else and be first, that's a little different criteria, but it's the same issue.
Mm-hmm.
You go from back up here to back up there, you've taken a step back really on your opportunities because you've set yourself up for a precedent in life where it's like, oh, I got passed over for this promotion. Let me go to this other place. And then you get passed up for that promotion again. And then,
and then you're chasing.
Yeah, you're chasing instead of actually looking at the things that you need to do to develop. Like, your job is to convince the coaching staff that you're the best player here. That's literally your job.
You know, fascinating stuff from you today, Coach. Thanks for going in depth on the on the Eric Gibson Jr. stuff and talking a little about the transfer portal, quarterback stuff. I got you talking depth chart already.
Yep.
Isn't that fantastic?
How about that?
Look at us in December 17th. Not that you've committed to anything, but at least we're talking about it. We're getting there.
Chart.
The old depth chart.
Yeah.
Coach, appreciate you as always. I'll let you jump out. Don't get blown away today. If that's really going to be that bad so
looks
far.
Looks great right now.
Looks fantastic, so we should be good. Appreciate you as always, my friend.
Likewise. Thank you, Brady.